This is Hazel Kahn and North Fork Works, a program where I introduce you to my neighbors and satisfy my own curiosity about who else lives on the North Fork of the East End of Long Island and what they do and how they do it. I'm sitting in a beautiful Victorian house in Greenport Village with the subject of my interview today, but I'm afraid you won't be able to hear him speak, at least not directly. Lordy is a dog, a splendid Irish wolfhound who lives with Ingrid and Michael Edelson. Most importantly, Lordy is a therapy dog. Welcome to North Fork Works, Lordy. Michael, what is a therapy dog?
A therapy dog is a dog that is therapeutic in that he aids people in their seeking recovery and hopefully to a normal life. He works primarily, but not exclusively, at the East End Long Island Hospital in the rehabilitation, detoxification, and psychiatric wards. He also visits elderly homes and facilities and the Conic Bay Hospital. It is by the nature of his breed and therefore his personality that his gentleness and instinctive understanding of people, and I should also say his generosity of patients, that enables people to feel more comfortable, at ease, and also to project a sense of affection to him that he returns. He does this by simply being a wonderful dog.
There have been studies that show that bringing pets into the hospitals lowers blood pressure, relieves anxiety. Also, pain medication.
How does it work, pain medication?
And I had to wait outside the patient's room for the doctor to come out, and he said, I really don't think the patient is up to this. He really feels bad. But you can ask. So we came in, and he said yes, he would like to see Lordy. And Lordy came in, and because of his height, he was able to put his head on the pillow, and the man started stroking him. And he asked questions, and we talked. And the next thing you know, he's up on one elbow. And then before you knew it, he was sitting up with his legs over the bed, using both hands to caress the dog. He was talking to Lordy. He was smiling. The doctor came in, said, I have medication, and then said, never mind, went off to the corner and just watched. And there was such a marked improvement in this patient just in 5-10 minutes with Lordy.
So how do you interpret that?
The patient is in a strange environment. He doesn't know what's happening. He obviously had problems, he wouldn't be in the psychiatric ward. And here's an animal that gives you unconditional love and attention. It responds to the caresses, it gave him little kisses. Lordy has a way of actually looking at people to make them feel that he's focused on them, paying attention, and it's comforting.
I was wondering, what do you think is the nature of the relationship that transaction? Let's call it a transaction because it's not yet a relationship, or maybe it is, I don't know.
It's unconditional.
I mean, but because Lordy doesn't know that patient, so why would he like him? Is it just in his nature?
Like people, he has certain people that he has an immediate affinity with. Irish wolfhounds are known for being very patient with the very young and the very old. They are very much family dogs, protective of family. And if I tell him, go and say hello to someone, he knows that I approve. And he will go and he will stand by them. and pet them. And then it's up to him if he goes and leans in, if he does kisses. I mean, some people want kisses, some people don't.
And he probably senses that.
And yes, if they draw back, obviously he knows this is right. Not them. I will back off too.
There's also a special point about Laurie being an Irish wolfhound. The wolfhound is the tallest breed, and Laurie is at the shoulder 38 inches. So when you add his head, it's 41 or some odd inches. And so when he walks into a room, it's a presence.
Imposing.
Very imposing presence. And at the same time, there is an extraordinary gentility about this breed. I've had wolfhounds before, also Great Danes and so forth. There is something about the look in the eye of a wolfhound. They're just absolutely marvelous, as Ingrid said, with old and young. And they are the perfect dog with children and frail people. Another instance where his height becomes a distinct advantage is that when we visit elderly facilities, he is the perfect wheelchair height. People do not have to bend over and run the risk of falling out of their wheelchair.
But the main thing is what he gives back, because, I mean, you know, a lot of dogs could be petted and so on, but somehow he has, it's a different return of the,
yes.
of the feedback.
It's hard to put into words, because one has to be, I suppose, a receptor of this to fully understand it. And we've seen it with all ages.
Was he born a therapy dog?
You got him when he was 10 weeks old. And at that point, he was already 20 pounds and gaining a pound a day. And I made sure that he was very much socialized. I took him to all public concerts and stuff. Of course, I would start him with maybe 5-10 minutes.
Because you already knew that you wanted to
do this. And I knew from our previous experience as a puppy walker with the Seeing Eye Dog Foundation how to socialize a dog. And you just constantly bring him into these situations, tell him make sure that he feels safe and comfortable. And he was a socialite from day one. Laurie tends to adopt a lot of people as family. And again, it's part of the nature of the breed. One of their jobs in history was to protect the livestock from wolves. Therefore, in their mind, the sheep were his family. If someone was going to hurt a sheep, they were going to pay for it.
But would you say that the way that his relationship, when he is in therapy mode, that it is a protective relationship?
No, it's not so much that he protects. It's more a loving relationship. Mm-hmm. He considers pretty much everyone he meets family.
And so you've had him since he was 10 weeks old.
Yes.
How old is he now?
He turned 5 in July.
Can you talk about, Michael, maybe about how you got him? I mean, how you...
An Irish wolfhound is not a very common breed. It took me about 12 years to come to terms with the death of my earlier wolfhound. And that's why, for one reason, that we were puppy walkers, because that way the investment was partial, if you will. And I was willing, knowing that after a certain time, the dog would be given up, but to a good life and a wonderful life, actually. Helping someone. But actually acquiring a dog was difficult. And when I finally came to terms, I very much knew that I wanted a wolfhound. In fact, we came very close to adopting a Great Dane, and at the last minute, I decided against it. I just couldn't do it.
Because you wanted a wolfhound.
Because I wanted a wolfhound.
It's not that they just give you a dog. They want to meet you. They want to interview you. You have to visit the puppy beforehand, and you don't get a dog unless you meet the approval of the owner or the rescue association.
And the same thing actually applies to the breeders. They are very careful as to whom they will sell a puppy. And we found a breeder outside of Boston. And we went up there, long trip via the ferry. And when we brought him home, I had a friend drive the car so that Ingrid and I could sit in the back with the puppy, because this was a very important moment in the puppy's life, because being under stress of being removed from the litter, it was essential that we be there in a supportive and potentially bonding role. So we sat in the back with the puppy, and it's extraordinary because he showed his nature from the very beginning, in that he was very quiet, he wasn't at all perturbed, and so he was showing his personality from the very beginning.
He was, in effect, born that way.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you have to make sure, I suppose, that you protect his character in the thing, in the way you raise him, the way you treat him. Because he could, I mean, if he was treated badly, he might not just retain that character,
absolutely.
I assume.
Yes, that's one of the problems with getting rescue dogs, is that they've been abused, and some of them don't recover that quickly from that abuse.
So about rescue dogs, just by the way, there's rescue dogs that, I mean, I never know whether it means that they have been rescued or that they do rescue.
There are both types. There are, usually though, when you say he's a rescue dog, he was rescued from a situation, a puppy mill, bad environment.
But when you see them, you know, going to earthquakes or looking under rubble for bodies and stuff, are they also called rescue dogs there?
We call them service dogs.
Service dogs. Okay.
But they're either water rescue or.
And then the classic water rescue would be a Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
And then as our previous dog, he became an awesome dog and capable. And trained and capable of picking up a scent in a very dilute form of any salt.
How do you get called to take him to, say, the hospital, Eastern Long Island Hospital? Do you make appointments? I mean, does the doctor do a prescription for them?
No. We have a set schedule with ELI. Lordy goes the second and fourth Fridays of the month, and the current arrangement with Pratt is that they charge a fee to the hospital. It covers the liability insurance, the training, and any money that's left over at the end of the year, the Rotary donates to charity. So that no one makes a profit on this. And at ELI, yes, Eastern Long Island Hospital, the doctors voluntarily pay the fees. They have a kitty that they go around every month, and we're not the only dogs that work at ELI.
So it's Fridays for how many hours?
Usually 2 hours.
I see.
And then we get calls to cover or there's a new facility that they want to try.
Conic Bay Skilled Nursing Home. They are new to the program. They want a dog once a month. So we've been going until they find a dog closer.
Do they have particular patients in mind when they call, for instance, when they called you, do they?
No, we go through the entire ward.
I see. Then Lordy will just stop at certain beds or something?
Yes, we'll go, and the nursing facility will go from room to room, and we'll knock on the door, we'll ask if they'd like to meet the dog, and then we'll come in with Lordy. Some people say, no, I'm not interested, or I don't. Not everyone is a dog person. Mm-hmm. And we will stay as long as needed.
So if Lordy, I mean, you know, if he was a human, I don't know if you think of him as human or not. Maybe do you think of him as having human characteristics, or do you not?
I don't know if I would call them human characteristics. He does have his own peculiarities, and also living with three cats is. Brings out some of them, and also with the cats. For example, he was already here, there were two cats here when he arrived, and about 3 years ago we took in another cat. And the reason we brought in the cat to the house is that he had met the cat at a store where
kittens were up for adoption.
Feebag, Amy's store in Cutthroat. And she was pushing the cats, the kittens.
These were kittens that had some physical problems. Mm-hmm. Their balance was off. Our kitten has 7 toes on each front paw. Mm-hmm. And she gave me the kitten to hold, and Lordy came over, and his muzzle went up, the kitten's head went down, they touched noses, and the kitten started purring, and Lordy started washing it. And we were like, okay, they apparently do have a bond. And when we bought the kitten home, every day he groomed it. He protected it from the other cats.
The most wonderful story is that Ingrid was up in the bedroom on the second floor of the house, cutting the kitten's nails for the very first time. And of course it was screaming. Lordy was downstairs, and he jumped up, ran up the stairs directly to the cat, and began washing it, calmed it down, and then Ingrid could continue without any fuss to cut the nails. And that, in a way, you know, has a very strong similarity to the sort of, how should I say, aura that he projects when he's in the hospital or in any other facility.
What is a calming thing?
Yes, very much a calming effect. And I think part of it is by the nature of his own calm quality. He's very, very calm and introduces that quality.
And with it, patient.
And his patient, yes, yes.
This is North Fork Works on WPKN Radio, where Michael and Ingrid Edelson are talking about their dog, Lordy, and how he works as a therapy dog on the North Fork.
I mean, try and imagine him as a person. Does he resemble any person, any people that you know, any individual human?
One of my friends said that if she imagined Lordy, if he were a person, that he would be in a tweed jacket smoking a pipe.
So he'd definitely be masculine.
Yes.
But the characteristics that you describe of his are not actually very masculine.
Who is more gentle than a younger person.
Oh.
And there's also an Irish quality about him in that he is very gregarious. We have frequently gone to Ireland. I would be teaching there and have many friends there. And in fact, Lordy's full name is Lord Kilbracken of Killigar, and he is named after the third Lord Kilbracken. We never met him because he died before we were going to meet him. It was some research that I was doing on a film, and his widow, Lady Kilbracken, invited us, because we were coming to Ireland, to do research at John Lord Kilbracken's papers. And we became very close, and when we decided to get Lordy, we also decided that we would name the dog after Lord Kilbracken, John. And I called Sue, and I said, Sue, would you mind if we named our new Irish Wolfhound after John? And she said, oh, that's a grand idea. And she said, but what are you going to be calling him? You can't be going down the road shouting, Lord Kilbracken, Lord Kilbracken. And so I said, well, we're going to call him Lordy. And she started laughing. And I said, well, what's so funny? She said, oh, That's what the locals used to call John.
That is funny.
So she is his godmother.
But I think it's also he's a gentleman. And I think that's where my friend got the idea of the slightly nerdy person in the tweed and pipe and wellies.
That's funny, yeah. So what do you think he gets out of it, Lordy? What does he get? I mean, what are his gratifications when he does whatever it is that he does?
He gets very excited when he gets into his uniform. His uniform is a...
Like a shoulder collar with a patch from the Rotary, and that way people see that he is a working dog.
So he's certified.
He's certified.
And he get when we let's go to work, or let's go to the hospital, we pick it up, he gets very excited. And we noticed very early on, because he's an excellent walking dog, he does not pull. We noticed that when we would get out of the car in the parking lot of the hospital, that he would start pulling to go to the hospital, which is very unlike him because he doesn't pull when you're walking him.
So what do you think it is? What do you think he's anticipating?
He likes meeting people. He likes being with people. He's, as I said, very gregarious.
And he loves the physical contact with the people. They pet him. Some of them get down on the floor with him. Some people get rather enthusiastic and put him in a headlock.
So that's what he gets out of it, is the contact, the attention, the proximity, the affection.
Yes.
He doesn't realize that he's also doing that for them. Oh, maybe he does, that he's doing that for them, or he's somehow therapeutic.
Yes, and they'll talk to him and they'll tell him things, and of course he doesn't repeat anything he hears.
Stays right there with him. So I mean, you know, how has having him changed your life? Did you, after them, it's been 5 years, how has it changed your, how did you have to change to accommodate him in a sense?
Well, you can't walk down the street with an Irish wolfhound and not be stopped.
So he's on the sightseeing too. He's part of the scene.
He's a tourist attraction. And during the summer, it is a very long trip to walk him.
No, is there anything else about how you had to train yourselves or change yourselves to accommodate him? I mean, were there actually specific things that they, you
well,
know, the train?
You know, by the nature of the size of the dog, its presence becomes more pronounced in your life. And you also become more attuned to their needs. So we always make sure that we let him out late in the evening so that he can sleep through the night.
You have to be outgoing with a dog like this because
yes.
You do speak to the public. We become an advocate for animal rights. We explain to people, you know, what he is, what he does. We talk up the Pratt program because people are constantly asking, well, could my dog do this?
Also become an expert on Irish wolfhounds because you are constantly asked questions about the breed.
And you also, you have to learn to read people. When we go, you need to know who's really interested, who wants to know, and who just wants to play with the dog. Mm. They do give you some training at Pratt. One of the things we want to do is we want to go into the hospice section. And for that, Michael and I have to go to some seminars. And we've already gone through the FBI background check.
Why do you have to have FBI background?
Because you will be going into
people's homes. In hospice,
you
could possibly be going into homes, private homes, and you have to have clearance that we do not have a criminal record and such.
And he doesn't need any training.
We have to, you know, what can you ask, what can you not ask?
Sorry, do you think Lordy will respond differently in a hospice situation than he did in a just a regular hospital?
I don't know.
When do therapy dogs sort of stop, you know, retire, or what makes them no longer suitable? if that's the right word.
Well, for this kind of therapy, he could go on as long as he can walk and be petted. In other situations, like guide dogs, they retire after 5 years of service. Arson dogs, it's when the nose goes.
Right.
It really depends on what they do. It's not a strenuous job for him, so he can do it well into adulthood.
Right. If people listening to this program are interested in finding out more about therapy dogs, can you say exactly who Pratt is? Is that the Rotary?
It's Patchogue Rotary Animal Assisted Therapy. And they have a website, pratt.org.
Okay.
Yes, right. There's a Good Dog in Connecticut. There's Bidawi in Nassau County. There's an overall national society called the Delta Society.
Okay.
And they help with a lot of these organizations.
And they actually have the dogs, or they just help you?
No, you come with your own dog.
And then it's a more training thing. So because the dog, if to find a dog, you'd go to a breeder or whatever.
You can get a dog from a shelter. As I said, we have a special place in our hearts for this particular breed.
Right.
The dogs would go through it's either a 10 or 12 part program of training and covering all these various aspects of conditioning and testing.
In order to be certified.
In order to be certified, yes. And
I guess maybe the last question should be, why should they do this? I mean, what do you get out of it? I mean, obviously it's not going to be income. So
no, there's we do not get paid in any form for
right.
this.
It's a form of contribution to the community.
Yeah,
I think that is, as a citizen, one should do whatever one can for the commonweal. And this is a contribution that we can make with Lottie. And it makes one feel good.
Or just having him in the house makes you feel good.
Yes,
yes.
To be able to share him that way makes you feel like a better person.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That was North Fork Works on WPKN, where Ingrid and Michael Edelson talked about their dog Lordy and his work as a therapy dog on the North Fork. North Fork Works is heard on the first Wednesday of every month at 7:30 p.m., right after Free Speech Radio News on WPKN 89.5 FM, streaming and archived on WPKN.org, and available as podcasts on hazelkahn.com. North Fork Works is produced by Tony Ernst.